have to read this.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, fam. I'm grateful covering had a call a set. Who they told it I was going to be second, but it's all right. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we're here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Hi, family. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My name is Lisette. Thank you, dear. I need that. First of all, I need to know, can I get honest with you and tell you the truth? Because if I can, I'm going to sit down right now. I'm not here to entertain you. I am not here to make you laugh. And I'm surely not going to say anything that you probably have not heard before if you are a member of Narcotics Anonymous. The first thing I want to say is I want to say welcome to the newcomer. If this is your first meeting, if this is your first convention, please keep coming. If you decide to stay clean, you are in for the ride of your life. If you decide to stay committed, you're in for an even greater ride. I had no idea that I would be speaking at this convention. I was walking down the hall a few minutes ago with my sister, minding my own business, deciding if I was going to go back to my room and lay down or not, and someone from your program committee asked me if I would share my experience, strength, and hope. And every addict in here has experience. Every addict has strength. And if you're not using today, which you're not sitting in this meeting, then you got some hope. And that's exactly what I'm going to share. First of all, I had a lot of obstacles getting to this convention. I have never been to this convention before. I'm not one of those addicts that make, thank you, a lot of conventions, but I do make meetings, and I am committed to the process. But I just want to talk to you a little bit about my journey in Narcotics Anonymous and what I have had to do to stay committed to not using a day at a time. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was getting high, I was very committed. I showed up. I'm telling you. And we didn't have no days off. We didn't have no holidays. We didn't have none of that. The disease was like, let's get up. Let's go. And I need to say, you know, in the speaker statement, it talks about not dwelling excessively on your active addiction. But sometimes it seems like we don't even talk about the fact that we used to use drugs anymore. I mean, it's done gotten so good now. We all living in, you know, six-figure houses. We driving or leasing new cars. You know, we got fairly decent jobs. We showing up today. We being responsible. That the newcomer come in here and they be like, well, dang, did they use drugs? You know, I mean, did they? And then for a while, and this is just my stuff, and that's why I'm grateful, you know, that I can share my experience, strength, and hope in Narcotics Anonymous. This is not Crack Anonymous. I have nothing against the people who smoke crack.
Yeah.
I freebase myself, but crack is not the only drug. We don't suffer from drug use. We suffer from the disease of addiction. Okay, and it runs through every core in your body if you are an addict. And if you are an addict and you used day in, day out, night in, night out, in the morning, in the afternoon, at work, off of work, whenever, then you were committed to that. And I need to say I'm asking my higher power to keep me focused because I need to stay on the topic because I really want to tell y'all what's going on in my life right now. But all y'all really need to know is that I'm still committed to staying clean in spite of what's going on in my life and in spite of what has gone on in the time I've been in recovery. Now, I know some people hung up on clean time, so they want to know what your clean date is, so I'll get that out the way first. Because he had, you know, I got to say, I love you, but you pissed me off. You know, I sat down for a minute, and first, this is just me, y'all. This is me. Now, I asked y'all, could I tell y'all the truth? We writing our name on the paper, and I don't wrote my name. I guess I took up the whole space. Because that's how addicts are. We self-centered. So he wanted to write my name again. And he put the wrong letter on the end. So I said, no, that's not my name. And I didn't like the way he looked at me, because I'm an addict. So you look at me wrong on any given day, you know I could get an attitude. You know, so I said, that's not my name. So he looked some kind of way. Maybe he didn't, but I thought he did. So it's all good. So I'm from the Burlington County area of New Jersey. He said, where you from, Burlington, North Carolina? I said, can you read? Don't you see that's an N and that's a J? Then he asked me, could he pour me some water? He poured me some water. He spilled it. I said, you did that on purpose. I know you spilled it on purpose. You know, but he was nice about it. He wiped it up. Then he kept talking to me while they was reading. I don't like addicts talking to me while they reading. Like, I try not to talk to me. And I come early. Wait a minute, let me clarify that. I try to come early because I still struggle with getting places on time. I try to come early. You'll probably find me staying late like I was when I was committed to getting high. I stay late, y'all. I could never make it home. But I will probably, like, come a little later and stay a little later, you know. So he talking to me, and I'm like, why don't you shut up? But he an addict, so I love him. Yeah. And then I'm trying to pray because I'm like, God, like, just help me not to offend nobody. And then he asked me for a hug. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another. So I had to hug him lovingly and not burp this brother. You know how you hug somebody? Baby patting you on your back. I had to hug him, and that was a genuine hug. You know why? Because I'm committed to recovery. Because recovery is just like holding a job. Like they say, be careful in your working relationships with people because you don't know who you're going to meet going up the ladder, and you don't know who you're going to meet coming down the ladder. In this process, that addict that gets on your last nerve, and you probably get on theirs too, you never know where your help is going to come from. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I've been in this process. Okay, I've been around here a little over 16 years. If I were to tell you that I was committed that whole time, that's not true. Because, you know, as addicts, we like to lie. The one thing I have always done is I have made meetings. Sometime in the beginning, it was to be seen. Hair had to be done. Nails had to be done. Clothes had to be matching. I was like, look, I'm going to the convention. I'm taking jeans and wearing sneakers. It ain't about that. It's about recovery. I need to be in some meetings right now because I'm trying to stay committed to this process. I just left out the meeting, We Do Recovery. We got a chapter in our book that talks about We Do Recovery. Recovery begins with surrender, and I don't really want to surrender to what's going on in my life right now. But you know what? I'm committed, so I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep showing up for meetings. Another thing you got to do is, like, you got to work steps. Damn. Otherwise, we just all be sitting around here talking about what we used to do. That's all it would be. It would just be like a little chat fest. You talking about how late you stayed out. You talking about who did who. And some of us, we still caught up in that. Who did who? Who's doing who? We looking around the convention. Who going to do who? Ooh, they look good. Mm. What area are you from? Where you at? Is your significant other here? You married? You gay? You straight? That ain't got nothing to do with the commitment. Because when you was using, that ain't got nothing to do with the commitment. But the commitment was all about who had the drug. Whoever had the drug, I'll be there. I'm on my way. Anybody else wasn't seeing you. You was on your way, and guess what? You never got there. And I want to talk a little bit about this compassion, because I hear addicts, especially now, Narcotics Anonymous done changed. It ain't the same. Narcotics Anonymous ain't changed. The program hasn't. The last time I checked, it was still the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. Now, the fellowship. You know why? Because people are coming in sicker. And that might be my opinion, but you know what? We just ain't not a few seeds thrown out the back door no more. Trust me, they doing everything they can to make what was mood and mind-altering more mood and more mind-altering. So in my opinion, when we get up in here, we already sick. Now we just plain old critical. We just roll up in here critical. You know, and we all in the hospital, and ain't nobody ever getting discharged. So, like, don't be looking around. You know, some people say, well, I'm sicker than most. Well, so what? We got a seat for you, too. It don't matter how sick you are. If you're that sick, sit on the terminal row in the front. Don't sit way back there in the back. You know, when you can't hear nothing, and you're probably back there holding a side conversation. That's another one of my pet peeves. I can't stand side conversations in meetings. I can't. And occasionally I indulge in them, but I try not to. Basically, I mean, I do. I try real hard not to. And I want to talk about this compassion thing. The addicts that we call them what? The revolving door addicts. I want to push something. It's the third tradition in the Works Harm Why. If you have not read the third tradition in the Works Harm Why, which the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using, please do yourself a favor and read that in It Works How and Why. Not in the basic text. You will never, ever, ever criticize an addict that relapses. Never. You know, addicts used to relapse. I would say to them, we ain't going to stop killing yourself. You know, we cannot be using and still be killing ourselves. We ain't working no steps. We're not calling our sponsor. We ain't making the meetings, not even on a semi-regular. But the person that keeps coming in and out and in and out, you know, after a while, you know, people don't even want to hug them no more. They be like, but damn, why don't you just stay? Don't keep coming back. Why are you killing yourself? I can't measure that man or that woman's desire to stay. I need to have some compassion because you know what? While they going in and out and in and out and in and out doing what they doing, you staying in and doing what you doing. And guess what? And ain't applying no steps and no spiritual principles to them whacked out behaviors that we can still do while we in the commitment. And I'm speaking from experience because I done been in the commitment doing some whacked out behaviors. And the other one is like the gratitude. A grateful addict won't use. Well, first of all, what am I grateful for? Am I really grateful that I'm clean, first and foremost? Am I really grateful that I'm not practicing a certain behavior if I'm really not practicing it? You know how you be trying to stop something? I mean, you know, you be like really trying to stop something. You know the first person you're going to tell, it probably won't even be your sponsor. Probably be your homegirl or boy that rolled up in the fellowship with you. Girl, you know I ain't doing him no more. One's supposed to be doing him anyway because he ain't your husband or your wife. And they said, well, how much clean time you got in that area? Well, he called last night and I said no. So I ain't doing him for a day. Oh, girl, call me when you got a week. Well, yeah, we'll tell the addict a day clean is a successful day. Well, how are you going to get 2 days if you don't get 1 day? So whatever behavior that you're trying to stop, that you're trying to make the commitment to, whether it's you not trying to steal from your job, you not trying to lust, you not trying to do nobody that ain't yours, they ain't ours no way. Because, you know, as addicts, we will take a hostage, won't we? You know, we'll take a hostage, won't we? But any behavior that I'm trying to apply these spiritual principles to, and somebody said, well, look, call me when you got a month. Call me when you got 30 days. Call me when you get a year. It don't work like that. It does not work like that. Anytime I am removed from any behavior, because if I'm clean right now and I'm trying to change the way that I'm living, then I need to have some gratitude. You know, first of all, I need to have gratitude to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous because the God of my understanding allowed me to find some place where I could fit in, even though sometimes I don't feel fitting in to the commitment. Have you ever been coming around for a while and then all of a sudden you just feel like, you know what, I don't know if this recovery thing gonna work for me. You know, the diseases start creeping in and it start talking to you like it talked to you in the beginning. It start telling you, you know what, the steps ain't gonna help me with my problems. It start telling you, you know what, I ain't gonna never stop doing this behavior. It start telling you, I ain't gonna get better in that area. All I'm gonna do is stay clean, maybe. And then we start having reservations, man. And then the next thing you know, guess what? We ain't talking about what's really going on with us. Because, you know, after a while, we come up anyway, and we think we got business. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. Ain't no addict got business that we don't know. Ain't no addict got business. Because we all know each other's business. Because we all was doing or are doing the same thing in one way or another. But the disease start creeping in. It start telling you, now you got a little bit of prestige. How do you get prestige in an anonymous program? How? Because people say, oh, get here, so-and-so share, because they got a bomb message. If you up in this fellowship, you got experience, you got strength, you got hope, you got a bomb message. Who lived your using other than you? Who survived your using other than you? Who survived your sleepless nights, your lonely nights, huh? Who survived them tears that was on your pillow, that might still be on your pillow now, other than you? Huh? Who survived that when you came up in the fellowship and caught HIV and didn't want to raise your hand and tell nobody? Who survived when you had the relationship that looked really, really, really good on the outside, but you knew you couldn't stand that motherfucker and he couldn't stand your ass either? Huh? Who survived it when your children was acting all whacked out, but you had the job that would go in people's home and remove the damn children? Huh? Who survived all of that? Huh? Who survived it when you start really digging deep and start talking about, I'm talking about them core issues. I'm talking about when it's no longer about coming around, looking cute, smiling. Hey, girl, what's up? You making a meeting? You going to hear so-and-so share? Huh? Who survived it when you start peeling away them layers? I'm talking about that deep, deep, deep core stuff that came back from the time when you was 5 years old, when you first got hurt, rejected, tossed to the side, when you first could identify that you felt like you was always on the outside looking in. Huh? Who survived that? Who stayed committed to the commitment and kept coming regardless? You did. Whether it was for a day, a week, a month, whatever. They told me that this is the last house on the block, that we ain't got nobody but each other. And you know, even up in here, we be talking about each other. For what? It's like, don't throw stones if you live in a glass house. Last time I looked, everybody up in here was behind smoking mirrors. Because you know they say addicts, we live secret lives. We do. You know, people say, oh, that's a good sharing addict. They sharing clean. They living dirty. Don't nobody know how you really living but you and your higher power. And what is sharing clean and living dirty anyway? Because all of us are imperfect and we trying to get better. Look, I'm going to tell you what I done stayed committed through. Well, you know, before I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I used to call myself a one-man woman. I never used to cheat. That was not a behavior that I indulged in prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous. No, I'm just sharing my experience from the hope. So I decided to cheat, but not with nobody in Narcotics Anonymous. But what it was a reservation from an old relationship. But my man was in prison. My husband was a correction officer. How ironic that is. Very ironic. And I'm not telling y'all this to sensationalize this. I'm telling y'all what I survived, what I stayed committed through. I wrote letters. I got a P.O. box. You know, we do all that sneaky stuff. I came home from a meeting because I'm committed. One night, big fire blazing in my backyard. My husband had found the letters. He was like, well, you need to choose between him or me. So I was committed. I packed my shit up and left the next day. I did. Out. I had like 10, 11 years clean at the time. I was still committed. I was working steps. I had a sponsor. See, I'm going to tell you, this is a powerful-ass disease that we got, and it can show up in a whole lot of ways. But, you know, I try to come home. I try to do the right thing, and it ain't work. So they talk about how you can go through bankruptcy. Been through two of them. That's all good, because I don't use no credit cards today. They talk about how you can go through an inner relationship. Marriage ended. He got another woman. They had a baby. Okay. It's cool, basically. I see them in a fellowship. I still come. Hey, I can speak. I can say hello. I can hug. Because I'm committed to the commitment. Okay? Because I'm going to keep coming regardless. Okay? I was an addict. I was employable, but I just didn't stay long. I mean, really, I just, no job. Over 2 years, I was, except for the military, when I was in the military, I was out. The job I got now, I've been there the longest, and it'll be 4 years in August, and I'm about to leave that one. No, I'm serious. I'm about, because they're getting on my nerves. I mean, really. But I have learned from you guys to show up. So I stay committed, because I got 2 kids I got to feed. That's why I stay committed to that. But, you know, I'm learning to have compassion for myself in this process. We can beat ourselves up more so than anybody else. We've all had to serve. My God, if I treated somebody the way that I treat myself, I would never speak to that person again. And you know, we was good at writing people off in active addiction. But who beats us up more than we do? And we got steps for every single behavior that we indulge in. And that don't mean that we need to go out and run wild and wicked and whatever just because we got some steps to address it. But it talks about in that 6 and 7 how these things will be removed in God's time when I'm ready. And some of us, it took a long, long time before we got ready. Ask yourself, how long did it take you to get up in Narcotics Anonymous? And not only after you got up in here, how long did it take you to get really committed to the commitment once you got here?
the commitment is simple. You know, when you come in, you know, they tell you, get a sponsor. Get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just not all at the same time. Some people say they feel more committed because they stay with one person. Just get a daggone sponsor. Somebody will sponsor you. You just ain't that unlovable that somebody ain't going to sponsor. You know what I mean? Because people make that statement, can't nobody sponsor me. Well, couldn't you buy drugs from some damn body? Somebody can sponsor you. Get a home group. Oh, you don't like that home group. They too this, they too that. Then just get another damn home group. Work some steps. That's not an option, folks, okay? That's not an option. You know, it tells us, you know, if you don't work the fourth, you might relapse. If you don't do the ninth and get some forgiveness in your life. So those things are not options. Basically, you got to come on a regular. Now, I'm not here to tell you what's regular. I'm going to put it like this. I make as many meetings as I can. If I can go every day of the week, I do. Some people call it hiding out. It's not hiding out. My job doesn't allow me to make meetings every single day. But every single time I can make a meeting, whether it's a half of a meeting, a piece of a meeting, a whole meeting, whatever, I'm there. What's regular is regular for you. Some people ain't never made more than 1 or 2 meetings a week. But I don't know, did you ever get high only 1 or 2 times a day? 1 or 2 times a week? 1 or 2 times a month? Whatever, I don't know. I can't say your recovery is going to suffer just because you don't make a whole lot of meetings. You need to talk to somebody, though. Honestly, you need to talk to somebody, basically, because your commitment is going to wane if you don't. Because you know who you're going to be talking to? Yourself. With that same voice that you love to hear the best, your own. I have found, for me, I can't keep stuff inside. And that don't mean that I can't keep a confidence if someone gives it. I'm saying when something bothers me, I have to talk about it. I've been sharing the same way since I came into Narcotics Anonymous. I had a sponsor to tell me the ability to share honestly is a gift. Now, you ain't got to drop everything on the floor. You ain't got to come in here and run naked down the aisles. But you need to get honest with somebody. I mean, you really need to let at least one person. And for these people to say, oh, I can't trust nobody. Well, then how trustworthy are you? That's what you need to ask yourself. How trustworthy am I? You know, we people come up here. We got secrets that people think will blow their lives out of the water. And some of them will. But ain't nothing you done thought, done, said, ain't nowhere you done been in the country, out the country, or in somebody's body. Because, you know, we just think that's the ultimate. Oh, sex is the ultimate. You know what? Sex ain't the ultimate. Intimacy is the ultimate. And when you talk to somebody and tell them about what's really, really, really going on with you, how you really, 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 in spite of having clean time, still don't think you're good enough. How in spite of having a job, showing up, taking care of your family, that same family that you rejected and that rejected you, how you still think you ain't doing your part. You know, I don't care how good you think you got it or you don't got it. There's always somebody that got it worse or better or whatever. So the only yardstick you need to be measuring yourself against is yourself. You know, I use this wonderful analogy all the time. Like if you were growing up, if your mother had a height and growth chart, she didn't put you up against your brother or sister's growth chart. She put you up against your own. When you come in here, you need to look at how far you have come in your personal commitment. What are you saying you're going to do for your own personal recovery? And I'm not here to preach because, you know, I ain't the addict that's going to tell you, you know, you need to be all spiritual. You need to be praying every day. You need to be this. What you just need to do is just ask your higher powers, how committed do you want to be to your own personal commitment? Do you want to stay clean? This is not just about staying clean. We're talking about learning how to live a whole different way. They said, we couldn't live with drugs and we couldn't live without drugs. Now, you know, that's a hard piece for an addict. Because, you know, we love drugs more than we love anything. But, you know, you could tell me I can't live with drugs. So now I done gave the drugs up. Now you're telling me I can't live without drugs? Well, God darn. Well, how am I supposed to live? I might as well die. How many times did you say that in your active addiction? Well, damn, if I can't get high, I might as well die. Well, no, your higher power had other plans for you to come up here into this fellowship. And then learn how to have some compassion for yourself and for each other. And then learn how to have some gratitude. Then guess what? You can walk around freely in society with your crazy ass head. And they're not locking you up. This program allows us to walk around and look just like everybody else. And when we feel like practicing spiritual principles, to act just like everybody else. How many times did you say, damn, I wish I could be like everybody else. Of course, you know, we were saying, I wish I could get high like everybody else. But that's not it. The bottom line is, I just need to stay committed to the commitment that I make for myself. So I don't know if anybody got anything out of this, but I got to say I feel better. I freed myself, so now I ain't got no resentment against the next Paul. Thank you, Paul. Ain't nothing changed from before I started sharing to the time I share now, other than I do feel good. And I'm just grateful to be in another Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because conventions are wonderful, but guess what? They're just another meeting, y'all. And we're getting another day clean. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Sharon. And here's our second speaker, Paul M.
Thank you, Jackson.
Permanent addict, my name is Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Blessed with the divine sweet gift of recovery, my clean date is April the 14th, 1990. That's 5,838 days in a row. Without smoking no crack, no marijuana, or drinking no alcohol. Without walking from Uptown Park Road to all the way to South Alexandria, a dookie dried up on me. Without leaving my wife at church and going home and coming back for 3 days later. Sick and tired of feeling like nothing all day long, all night long. Leaving my family, giving the clap to a family member, harming the people and my family and those all the way around me. Never feeling like I belong anywhere. Never wanting to be nowhere. Stealing food from people who love me. There's only one requirement for Narcotics Anonymous membership, a desire to stop using. But there are many benefits. One of these benefits is the privilege of service. We who have this disease of addiction spent years of our lives locked up in ourselves. We were cut off from the warmth and the fellowship of other human beings. Our lives revolved almost exclusively around using and getting and the means and the ways and the finding to get more. The love that connects one person to the next. The selfless service that feeds, houses, and clothes and warms and nurtures humankind. Of that love, of that selfless service we had no part of. That's why it is a privilege in our recovery to be able to serve others. For we come to know ourselves only in looking beyond ourselves. And we need and we keep what we have only by giving it away. By empathizing with other members. By learning to appreciate their needs. By placing them ahead of our own. By these things we learn to love others. And by doing so we learn to love ourselves. So. Yeah, move over, Slim. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I was not open enough to know what a commitment was. Before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I had not the compassion to care about anyone else. Before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, gratitude was not a task or a privilege or something that I really had unless I was getting something for it. I was grateful if I had sex a lot. I had a lot of money. That's the extent of my gratitude in living. My compassion only was in my self-centered seeking. And if I had it, that mean I was going to be nice to you. Yeah. I'll just set you up, Dexter. I'll let you know in a minute. All right. So I'm a preacher's kid. Grandfather's a preacher. Mother's a preacher. Right? So I'm a little messed up with the commitment thing. All right? So I used for some 15 years. No, I correct that. I used for some 12 and a half, 13 years. And I've been clean 15 years, 11 months, and 26 days in a row. Yeah. This is Just for the Day program designed to help an addict become successful. Designed to help an addict to recover from a hopeless, seemingly impossible this illness. It's just ugly. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, because our topic is spiritual reward, let me let you see what the reward is for yourself. I mean, just a little bit, because you ain't going to really be able to see what's on the inside right now. Okay? But I'm going to lay out a little something for you and see if y'all can see what's happening. But before coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I ain't like white people.
See what I'm saying?
I ain't like black people. I ain't like short people, fat people, or gay people. And because I'm extremely attractive, well built, sexy, and fine, it was hard for me to like anybody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, my short-sighted intelligence led me to be kind of arrogant in my living, because that's the only thing that could protect me from the physical abuse and the mental abuse and all of that kind of stuff. Because, you know, when you have a lot of incest and molestation and rape in your family, you understand? It's kind of hard to like people when you've been trying to live with people and you're not successful with that. I wasn't successful living with my mother. I wasn't successful because I harmed my brothers and my sister. I was not successful living in societies because they transferred me from schools, okay, because I would break out in a school. You know, they were, you need to send him somewhere else. He will not be able to come back to this school again. All right. So let's look at this. I'm 44. I got clean in the Norvana area. I am now a member of the South Potomac area of the Chesapeake region. I am a service member for Narcotics Anonymous. I am not here to, you know, for you one entity of people. I am here for the spirit and the message of Narcotics Anonymous in this atmosphere as its entity, its body, its reflection of love. That's why I'm here. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you how I got there. Because I came here all ate up on the inside. Because I had been whooped with extension cords and switches all my life. Because I had brought so much harm. Because there was so much. I hated white people because I had one bad experience as a child with white people. So I grew up hating them. I hated black people from Washington, D.C. because I had a bad experience with black people in D.C. I got raped by some guys in drag, and I hated them. I hated gay people. And because I don't look like and don't act like the average people or the average person, and because I do not succumb, I'm not the type of guy that, I'm not a real nice person. You know, I am now. But I wasn't. But if you want to get free, this is just my experience. Narcotics Anonymous has a way. If you want the fact that you never have to walk around with dried up dookie on you for 4 days, stay in Narcotics Anonymous. If you want the fact that being raped over and over and over and over, leave your dreams, stay in Narcotics Anonymous. If you want the fact of giving a clap to your 5-year-old family member, leave your dreams, stay in Narcotics Anonymous. You want the fact of leaving people dead? You want the fact of ruining your brother's relationships? You want you wanted to leave you. Stay in Narcotics Anonymous. So I'm committed. I ain't never going to use again. I'm not like I said, I'm not like some of you people that say never. Webster defines never as to no extent or any degree. So let me just clear that up. To no extent or any degree do I want to be funky, pissy, and drunk, walking up and down the road, raped, lost. Lost! I don't want to be that way no more. I don't want to take from my brother no more. I don't want to hate no more. I don't want to wake up crying because I can't deal with life no more.
You better share.
I'm glad I don't hate white people no more.
Don't mind.
Sorry. Okay, y'all want me to read the little message they wrote?
Yeah, right.
I got a pen on me that say 100% Narcotics Anonymous. Okay? I've lost friends because I go to meetings. I lost friends because they mad because I like serving. I have lost a couple of friends because you don't want me to be with somebody else in Narcotics Anonymous. Oh, you're really mad. You're really mad because I can walk around here and take it and love, and I'm going to love some people in here. Because when I was coming to the meetings, and every meeting I was going to every morning and every afternoon, it took me 3 years to go on every day before I missed my first meeting. I shared 2.5 years in a row every damn meeting I was going into. They'd be like, uh-oh. Here he come. You know, I must have had that walk. You hear him get in here. You know, because I must have had, he going to dump the day on him, you know. But I found something that worked. Because it reached somewhere inside me I didn't know existed. Anytime that you are in such a pus, and you're laying in a fetal position, and your only scream is to call a gay guy in the detox to say, "What should I do?" And you only got 72 days clean. And he said, "Just stay right where you're at. At 8 o'clock, there's a meeting. Go there." And I do. And that's when I get my sponsor. A white lady introduced me to him. Because I got some pet peeves up in here too. You're not supposed to like how I look.
That's right.
Because you're powerless over it. That's what's bothering you. You need to work the steps. You're powerless physically and mentally and spiritually. There's absolutely nothing you can do about the way I look. Because I didn't like white people, my sponsor said, stand by the door. Hug 15 white people. Because I ain't like black people, he says, stand by the door. Hug 15 black people. Because I think it's so much ugliness in the room with me, he says, stand by the door and hug everybody that's ugly. I say, I'm going to be the last one to leave. But when you committed to what this process has for you, you're not in charge once you say, take my will and my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. I don't want to be like that no more. Once you do that, you're setting yourself up. Some days it's going to go over well. Some days it's not. Someday the ride going to be easy. Notice how you say you don't like a person, and every time you turn around, there they are. You know what I mean? I wish he would just sit his little... I wish she would quit wearing it. Would she stop doing that? There they are, doing it all the time. Right? Well, so, anyway. So about the fifth hug, it was a guy, you know, when it would rain or like that real bad, he would give me a ride home. He would make me get in his car, basically, because I only had a few days clean, you know, 130, 160 some days. He said, hey, my man, come on. Get in. You're not going to catch a bus. I'm going to give you a ride home. Don't you say no either. I'll share on you in the meeting. And, you know, he done backed me into a corner because he used the what? The ultimate weapon, the meeting. Meeting makers making. So I jump in his little car again, and first of all, the car fumes, is backing up into the jump. The passenger window don't work. He has a dog that, travels in the back seat. Okay? Right? I'm talking about gratitude because I don't know how to be grateful. Right? But it's raining. And he's going to give me a ride home so I don't have to stand in the rain and act like I'm in the military. Nothing bothers me. What kind of shit is that? Get in the car. I get in the car, we ride, and I find out what? He's really a nice guy. But I do like y'all did me. I judged him by how he looked. You know how he looked. He had on some Mr. Green jeans, them coveralls. He had a big burly beard. Looked like he don't really, you know, groom. Like you can see. Every 6 days I'm cutting and fading my own hair, okay? I do's that, right? But he didn't do that. Beard growing all the way, connecting from the back and shit. Hair connect, you know, from here to the beard and shit. And just a jolly old fella, right? And I went to hug this guy, and I realized that I liked him because he was smart. He was smarter than my disease and me, because he got me in the car every time it rained. Or every time it was real late. I mean, real late. like the business meeting. The meeting was over at 9:30. The business meeting be over at 10:45. You know, because you're not y'all at NAB doing, no, not my way, that thing. So what happened was he would be the only one, him and this other guy would be the only ones to take me home. And both of them would go out of their way to take me home. See, when you're new in the program, you need an instruction. And 9 times out of 10, our instruction best served is in what you do, not what you say. So they were showing me commitment long before I understood it. You know, because I was still upset because my grandfather didn't marry me. How could he possibly go and preach somewhere else when he needed to marry me? He married my mother. He married my brother. He married this one. He married that one. It was my turn. How dare he? Right? I didn't know about commitment then. See, this program will let those off the hook if you are open. Because commitment is the discipline to open-mindedness. Gratitude is the discipline. The discipline to willingness. Oh, if you are grateful, grace, attitude, attitude of grace. If you are grateful for something, there should be some willingness. But my only, you know, gratefulness or willingness came to how well she did me. And if I could come back when I wanted. And if she told them that I did wonderful things for her. That was it. I never had anything else. Or how wonderful I did on a job. I never had no personal gratitude. Honesty and compassion is the fact that, golly, Paul, you know, these people sit here and do all this stuff for you. They go here with you. They allow. And then the other thing was, I had a friend of mine that, you know, he had a really nice house. And he would have these big ass picnics and, you know. I mean, I only had like 8 months clean. And he was letting all these other, I was a nice, you know, I know how to be in nice stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's some people that, you know, just act like they homeless. And, you know, just be going through your bathroom and shit. Well, he would open his house up to the fellowship. And I could not understand, why would he do that? And he said, you never heard him share? And I was like, no. And he said, well, he lost his mother when he was 5. His father died in the service. He never knew him. And he was the only child. He was homeless for 25 years. I said, oh, bullshit, that's another one of them fake stories in the NA. But that's what kind of addict he was. He was so grateful for this program. He was so committed to this program. My friend, you know, the people that guided me and told me to come to this program, some of them have died, you know. Some of y'all are still right here. I've been clean 16 years, and my affections go all the way back to my first few days when my friend and them would take me and they would let me sit in their meetings. They knew they knew that I wasn't, you know, real, you know, and they would let me hang out with them and shit, you know. And they wouldn't say funky stuff like, you know, sometimes y'all say some horrible stuff around people, family members. And these guys would never say nothing ugly about me around my wife. I don't care how many times I came in talking about I did this one to that one and that one to this one. These guys would say, man, look, we love you, man. Yeah, you know, you got a good husband. They would never put the boot on me and never put the make me feel little. Where in Narcotics Anonymous do we have the right to make somebody else feel little about being here because they fucked up? I can't tell you what level I'm on because I can't do what you do. I'm sorry I got 16 years and I'm loving the way I'm feeling. I never met this man, and as soon as I found out he was my sponsee brother, every time we see each other, it's there. I never knew how to love like this before. Oh, that's a song, ain't it? My bad. That's it. My bad. Okay. Okay, so. So I'm going to tell you how my higher power uses this spirituality in this process, and how he vehicles you people in here. This is what's happening, okay? Now, this is a tangible physical element that you can see, other than the fact that I'm just such a wonderfully looking person. I'm just saying, like, these are all of the conventions I've been to. Got my first white key tag on here. That's my gratitude. I got my first white key tag on here. That's how precious this program is to me. So what? You know, I done some things, you know, slept with a few newcomers. I stole some money. But I've been robbed in here too. Yeah. Okay. But I want to tell y'all, I found what love is right in here. And right now, I'm in a process where I know that I accept the fact that my higher power wants me to be an ultimate love the way he wants me to be. And what he told me is that there's this man or this woman that don't know how to love like that. So you got to keep working with them. You don't get to quit on them, and you don't get to step on them. You get to love on them. And then you put my love on them that you think that you got from me. You give that to them too. Because I got a friend of mine that don't have a male intimate loving relationship in his life. Okay? So he don't know what this feels like to have this. Yeah. And my brother is not my mother's child. I got four brothers, and neither one of them will speak to me. Tell you how spiritual this program is. I told y'all, you know, when I got here, I ain't like gay men. Right? How about one of my dearest brothers in this program is gay? Is that all right? Can I say that? Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. It's all right. You're not gay. Okay. Woo. If you are having a hard time allowing humor and happiness and joy to be with you, then it's going to make your adversities a little harder. If you have a hard time going to work every day, then get a new job. If you are having a hard time talking to someone, keep talking. It'll go away. It'll go away. I had a person tell me they was ashamed to be my friend. I said, that's impossible. But then I thought about it. I've been raped. I've been having sex with my family. I've had some murder things go on, death. I've robbed people. I've harmed people. I've left people maimed. Damn, Vincent. if that's all they saw, then I guess I would be a little fearful of that. If you don't want to see the loving, compassionate side of this program in me, You don't want to see the fact that I ride all the way out of nowhere to nowhere to nowhere to nowhere. Okay. So, okay, I got 2 minutes.
Right?
Yeah. See, I'm good. All right. So I'm going to say thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to say thank you because when you hug me and you hold me, you're not afraid of me. You're telling me that God is still working in our lives. You're telling me that he is using us to be a beacon for someone else. If you are new in the program and you seem like there's no way out, I just want to let you know a bitter end is a bitter end. And wherever you are, you can stop using and never use again, no matter what. No matter what, you never have to feel empty and lonely as you feel right now. Or when you stop using, you never have to go back to that anymore. I'm here to share with you that I've been whooped, beat, banged, all of that. And on the other side, I can't even be mad at the program anymore because I was going to quit Narcotics Anonymous, like you said, because I couldn't be at this position that I wanted. And I was laughing like shit. I said, okay, you got a good hit. But I have a hard time with the seventh step. See how funny my higher power is? He knows how to use everything in my life to make sure his message is clear. That I am his and I am under his direction, and at no time can I take mine, what he gave me, and turn it into something for my ego. So if you think I'm thinking I'm all cute and you're going to pass me in the hallway, that's your loss. Trust me when I tell you. If you think I'm hurt or something by the gossip you've done to me, no. I'm covered. He already told me. I got your back. You don't like how I dress. You don't like how I dance. I ain't smoking no crack. Yeah. All right, now I'm going to spend 30 seconds on sponsorship. Get one, use him to the best of your ability, and watch yourself grow as a flower do. Allow the process of another man, regardless of his age, or a woman, regardless of their age, miraculously, tremendously change your experience in love. Watch what happens when your friends accept you to guide them in their new way of life. Actually tell your friend, I'm going to love you, Cedric. I'm going to love you, Daryl. I'm going to love you, Paul. I'm going to love you, Vincent. I'm going to love you until I learn how to love you more. And every time I pray that God use you to make me love you more, I'm hoping that you see the reflection so you can do the same thing for the next man. That's the only reason I'm going to stay in Narcotics Anonymous. It ain't about a house. It ain't about a car. It's really about the house and car feeling that I can teach to the newcomer. And that's why I want to be here. I believe that we each are indebted to help someone like someone first helped me. I love you, and I thank God that he sent you all the way from Burlington, New Jersey. I just want to let her know I'm straight. She straightened me out, you know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going to get clawed up. Hold on, baby. Yeah, I'm too cute for that. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.